Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with our exit interview, week number 11 here at the Final 7. And today we're going to be talking with Sammy Laiati. And we're going to talk with Sammy about what went wrong for him in Survivor 43. He was the only player to play his shot in the dark. Once again, it did not work. We'll talk about all that and more here with Sammy. You could check out the video of my interview with Sammy as well on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. It'll be a busy Thursday here today. Adam Klein is going to be my guest on the podcast. Always great to hear what Adam has to say about any season of Survivor. He is just one of the best people you can talk to. And so we will check in with him. And then on Friday, be sure to check out our feedback show as Bryce Isaiah joins me on a Feedback Friday. We'll be live with that one at 4 p.m. Eastern coming up here on Friday. So be on the lookout for that. I see that we have Sammy on the line. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Hey, Sammy, what's going on? Good morning. How are you?
What's up, Rob? Good morning, man. You know, I'm doing good. I'm processing. You know, I'm sitting and I'm thinking about everything I did. I'm great, man.
Good. Well, let's talk about it. I see you got the whiteboard behind you. Is that Survivor talk or is that something else you're working on?
Yeah, so, you know, I just watched Breaking Bad, and since the $1 million, I couldn't win it by playing Survivor, I figured this is a pretty good way. It's actually a formula for, you know, a new product I'm working on. So,
okay. Oh, no.
Hit the street pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. All right. Well, you know, Sammy, first off, I thought you were super fun to watch on the show. There seemed like there was a point in the post-merge where everything was going your way. Everybody is working with you. You're seemingly getting what you want all through the whole first part of the merge. What went wrong from your opinion? Where did it start to go south?
Yeah, so really where it started to go south for me was when I got back from the James vote, and my damage control to that point was really good, but it had just been off. It had just been off that time. I didn't notify Jesse as a threat. I didn't see that he was kind of, you know, putting inklings in people's heads. And so I actually thought I played the middle of this game very well until we got to 8. And then I kind of was doing my own unraveling a little bit. I think in this game, you would know, Rob, playing in this middle is so dangerous.
Yeah.
You have to, at some point, pick a side. And I wasn't ready to pick a side. I wanted everybody's relationships for the jury. I wanted everybody to like me. I wanted everybody to be like, well, Sammy tried to keep me in the game. And so that was my undoing. And, you know, on top of that, I stopped giving attention to relationships that were super important in this game, right? Gabler, you know, I kind of stopped checking in with him as much. I kind of was like, listen, brother, listen, dude, write what I tell you and we're going to be just fine, man. Like, we're just going to be fine. And like I remember on the Carla, I'm like, listen, bro, it's Carla. Like, let's rock and roll, man. Let's do it. And he's kind of like, well, why? Like, he doesn't have a why. Jesse and Cody gave him a why. Same thing with Cassidy. You know, me and Cassidy had built a strong relationship and I just burned the bridge. I didn't listen to her. You know, I stopped listening to her because I was like, listen, dude, Cass is not playing the kind of game that I want to play. I can't go that way. I can't go the same way. I don't want to like lay low. I want to like be up here, but have people think that I'm right here. And then, you know, with Carla, obviously, that was like the biggest one. Like, I just totally just blew that whole thing up when I had a really good ally there with trust. And so I think where it went wrong for me was my damage control got sloppy. My game got a little bit sloppy. And my managing of relationships got sloppier.
Yeah, you brought up Carla. I would love to know a little bit more about when we saw on the James vote, you said that in confessional that Carla, that was like the most important person to you. And then by the next vote, you were willing to get rid of Carla. So what changed after James went home?
Yeah, so at that point, you know, I was still trying to convince Carla, like, can we do this? Like, can we please do this? Like, I kept putting it in her head throughout the day, like, come on, like, let's do James, let's do it. And you know, it wasn't working. So I was like, you know what? And you know, this is actually something that I don't like when people talk about, oh, this is what you did. This is the one thing I'm going to say is I knew that was going to work because I told Carla, what I told Carla was like, listen, James said he's going to use his knowledge of power and he's going to take your idol. He's going to take your idol. So you have to vote him out, or otherwise he's going to take your idol. And I timed it so that it was like right before we went to tribals. Carl, like, what? Like, what do I like? And so, yeah, I, at that, you know, when we were still at that tribal, that meant a lot to me. And even after that vote, I didn't want it to be Carla. I was targeting Cass first. We could kind of chop Carla's legs a little bit, but not, you know, not go after Carla specifically. And then once Cass won immunity, and I was proud of her for that. I was so proud of her for that. I don't know if that made, but you know, once she won immunity, I remember sitting there with Jesse and I was like, this guy doesn't know what I'm doing. He has no idea what I'm doing in this game. And then I didn't want to vote off Noel because I was like, Noel is somebody that none of us wants to next to her. So let's just take her to six. And, you know, that didn't work out. And so with Carla, I had a really, that was kind of the explanation what that was. After that vote, I knew how much she trusted me. And my theme of this game was, oh, if people are trusting me a little bit more, then that's when I can kind of cut them loose.
At the tribal council from last night, you seemed very convinced that you were going to be the person who was going to go home, even though people were telling you you were going to be safe, that you played your shot in the dark. Why were you so certain that it was going to be you at that tribal council?
So, like, yeah, I had discussions that day. Like, I was like, yo, can you guys be honest with me? Can you be honest with me? Is it me? Obviously, everybody's like, no. You're good. And I talked to Cody and Gabler, and they're like, listen, if something goes south, we'll let you know. If something happens, we got you. We'll let you know. And then I'm at tribal. I'm tapping them. I'm like, whisper, like, yo, is we good, bro? Like, is it going to work out? And they're not looking at me. Gabler's like, he gives me like this weird thumbs up. And I'm like, dude, what does that mean? My game is crumbling here as Jeff is talking about the tide rising and lowering. And I was enjoying that analogy. And then I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I was looking over. I was kind of like looking at people like what's happening. And then all of a sudden, just like, and Sammy, and whenever he says my name, I really want to hear what he's saying. Cause I don't want to give him, I don't want to give like a foo-foo answer. Like, yeah, you know, this is that. And this, and so like, I was like, Jeff, bro, listen, I'm playing my shot in the dark, man. Cause this is just not working out. Like I had feelings because of, I wasn't getting good vibes from the people around.
Yeah. And it was the right call. So that was a good, shot in the dark play. Certainly. And I want to ask you about the advantage that Cody found in the episode. And so, first of all, what was your reaction to watching that back and seeing where the thing was and how many times you all walked past it?
I can believe it. You know, I'm on the West Coast, so people are watching it before me, and they're like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? You walk right past it. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And so then I couldn't wait to watch on TV. That was genius. You know, that was genius to put that thing right there because, oh my gosh, like I could not believe that we all walked right past that thing, especially I needed that thing like so bad. And we were all, I couldn't believe it. My reaction was, wow, like I am blind. I wore glasses. I had them on right there. I don't know what happened, bro.
Did anybody know Cody had found the thing after it was all over?
Yeah, I actually saw him find it when I was kind of a little bit of a corner away, and when he was like doing his like when he was like dancing, I was like in the corner, like I was kind of like I'm trying to think of it, I don't know, like I was just like watching from the shadows, and I was just like, dang, bro.
Did he tell anybody what it was before you went to that challenge?
No, he did not. We found out at the challenge what the advantage was.
Okay.
And so yeah.
Okay, going back to the story you told Carla about Cassidy, were you surprised that that seemed to start to take hold a little bit?
I kind of was because I felt like I said, I felt like at this point, I burned my bridge. Like, you know how they used to burn the rite of passage, the shelters? I felt like that was me. I was like, I'm done, dude. Like, I'm going to fight my butt off and I'm going to try to be here at six, but I have an uphill battle ahead of me. And so when I planted that seed in real time, I didn't know that that was working that way. But Carla was one of the only people in the game that decided after the vote, you know, the day after Noah went home, that tried to give me a little bit of hope, that tried to talk to me a little bit, keep me in the game. You know, Carla and Cody were the two people that I felt like, okay, they're trying to keep me in this game. Like they're giving me some hope in this game. And I was definitely surprised that kind of worked a little bit to my advantage, and would have had Jesse not masterminded everything else to get me out that day.
I thought it was so interesting that we have these three guys from Baca in you and Owen and Gabler, and you're there in, at the final seven. And it just, it seemed like that I was waiting for at some point for the three of you to kind of get back together, but it seemed like that never really happened. But you've worked with Owen on some of the other votes. Did you have a good working relationship with Owen?
I thought I did. I totally thought I did. And you know, we did get together and I was very, I give Owen and Gabler a lot of props, a lot of credit for that day, because those are like my guys. I'm like, those are the people that I really trust because I just burned all these other bridges. They trust me because they know what I've been doing this whole time. And they made me feel safe that day. And, you know, to answer your question with Owen, it looks like me and Gabler are like pair, you know, the pair that's there. But if we got Uwad, you know, if we got Matt C, like everything went down, it was going to be me and Owen in my mind. Mm-hmm. In my mind, it was going to be me and Owen. That was the guy that I really wanted to work with, to keep in a loop. And I did my best to keep him in the loop while still playing my game in the middle. And I can't blame Owen for turning his back on that, because that's just not really something that you want in an ally. You want people to know what's happening. I was disappointed to see him throw my name out to Cass. You know, I was disappointed. I was like, dang, dude, like we were gunning, man. We were running and gunning, but I got nothing but respect for the work that they did that day to make me feel safe.
I know you're playing in the middle and you were working with everybody, but did you have in your mind a final three that you were hoping to try to get to the end with?
Yeah, so once we got to eight, I was hoping it would be me, Gabler, and Owen. However, I must be honest in saying, before the vote at eight, I was also fine with sitting next to Jesse or Cody, because Jesse, you know, for me at camp, it was like, Jesse's not talking to anybody. He's not really trying to make bonds with anybody. That's obviously not true. He just saw what I was doing and didn't choose to reciprocate that with me. And with Cody, I was like, yo, man, once I'm going to act like I'm living with this dude, living, you know, L-I-V-I-N,
yeah,
till we get to the end of this game. And then at that point, he's only watched a couple seasons. I can out-talk him all day. And so I didn't want to sit next to Cass or Carla. I mean, those are like, I was like, dude, they'll sweep me. They'll destroy me in this game. And they're like, I didn't want to do that. And so at the point of eight, Gabler and Owen were like, let's do it, Baca. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Did you realize when you were out there that Cody and Jesse were a tight pair?
I figured, you know, you watch the way things work and they work together. And it was always Jesse, you know, I knew they were a tight pair. What I didn't know was how good they both were at the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know that. I thought they were a group that had to work in a pair. That wasn't true. You know, Jesse was super astute in everything about this game. Cody was very aware and his strategy was like really good about kind of throwing you off by like getting a tattoo on his butt and talking about drinking the beers or whatever, but he's really playing to win this game. And so, listen, I know everybody's like, what are you guys doing? Like, how do you guys not see that? They were very good at lowering their threat level.
Yeah, I've come to understand that. So thanks. I appreciate that. Sammy, it was really fun to get to watch you on the show. I really loved the energy and the chaos that you brought to the season. So thank you so much for that. All the best outside of Survivor. I know you got to run, but really it was fun to have you on the show.
Thanks, brother. All I can do is cause a little chaos, and that's what I'm here for.
We loved it. Okay, Sammy, take care, okay?
Bye. Thanks, Rob.
All right, everybody, there you have it. There's Sammy. Love a Survivor player who wants to play the middle. Ultimately, Sammy got caught up, but I do really appreciate what he brought to the season. And really, for a 19-year-old guy who I was low on in the preseason, I did not think that it was going to work. He really had it going. Sammy, he was in his bag for a minute there. And unfortunately for Sammy, was not able to bring it home. But, you know, again, super fun to have on the show. All right. So we are going to take a break. When we come back, Jordan Kalish will be here and we'll get into this week in Survivor history coming up here in just a minute on our Exit Interview podcast here on RHAP. All right, we are back with the voice of Survivor history. Here he is. It's the world famous Jordan Kalis. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great. When you said The Voice, I thought you said we're back with The Voice, like NBC's show.
Yeah,
The Voice,
and I we're back with The Voice. About. Find out which singer is going to be here. We're going to turn around our chairs to see who has the best voice. Do they still do the chairs?
I don't think I've ever watched The Voice. I know about the chairs. I've seen the chairs. I know CeeLo. I remember CeeLo Green in the chairs. I don't think he's a judge anymore. I would be surprised.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I haven't seen him in a commercial anytime soon.
Somebody let us know. Do they still have the chairs on The Voice?
Yes. And is CeeLo Green still on the show?
Do you think anybody does This Week in The Voice history?
I would be very surprised.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's Jordan Kalis. And we are back here. It's officially December, Jordan.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. We are finally in the month of the Survivor finale where we'll find out who's going to take this thing home, baby.
Yeah. And this was my goal here to be playing Meaningful Twish here in December. And we're here.
Yeah. It's the first time in since 2010 that we're playing Meaningful Twish in December. So great news. You're the Mike White of This Week in Survivor history.
Which one?
I'm talking about Jets. Jets Mike White.
Oh, okay.
Jets Mike White. I mean, both Mike Whites are hot right now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see who has a better weekend coming up this weekend. All right. So Jordan Kalis, we are here the first week of December and the last week of November. Here we are in Survivor history. Usually a time when the Survivor games are heating up.
This is where I come alive, Rob. They don't call it December for no reason.
December, that's right. Yeah. Yes, for no doubt.
Yeah, so we're here and we are ready to do some trivia. And I'm going to take you all the way back to Survivor South Pacific. This is from the episode Cult-like from November 30th, 2011. This is from 11 years ago yesterday.
Cult-like.
Yes, cult-like.
Yeah, not like the Indianapolis cults.
Not the cult. No, not. Then the episode would have been on Saturday.
Yeah.
So in South Pacific, who lied that it was their birthday and therefore was given a spot on the spa reward? So you can choose to answer this without the multiple choice. You would get 2 points. If you need the multiple choice, you'll get one for a correct answer.
I believe, famously, it was Cochran who was the birthday liar.
So John Cochran knew that he could be in some trouble because it was down to him and just the Upolus left. And yes, he lied that it was his birthday. Albert won the reward. He took coach and gave his own spot to Cochran. So that is correct. You get 2 points. I should probably write that down somewhere. I don't have my scoreboard in front of me, but 2 points on the board, baby.
Bing, bing.
And unfortunately, the full plan didn't work because he still was voted out in this episode, unfortunately, for Cochran. But he would come back and do some great things on Survivor. So you are a perfect 2 for 2. And we're going to go to our next, 2 points for two points. You did the 2 point conversion.
Yeah.
All three of these players were voted out of tribals in which votes were negated by an idol. But only one would not have gone home if the idol hadn't been played. Who was the one idled out player of the three? Obviously, in this one, you need the multiple choice.
Only one would not have gone home.
Might have been a double negative there, but basically there are three people who were voted out at tribals in which an idol was played. Two of them, it didn't matter that the idol was played. These players would have gotten voted out anyway. One of them was idled out and would not have gone home if the idol hadn't been played. Does that make sense?
There was a bad idol play. The idol got played on the wrong person.
There was an idol play that didn't need to be played. And then one of them, the idol did need to be played.
Okay.
So we have A, Zeke from Millennials versus Gen X, B, Joe Mena from HHH, and C, Elizabeth Bazell from Survivor Island of the Idols.
Okay. I do not think an idol got played when, or you said an idol got played at all these tribal councils?
An idol was played at all of these tribal councils.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. I'm getting confused with Desi's. So I think when Joe Mena went home, I think that this was when Ben convinced Ryan to play his idol. I think that that's a thing that happened. When Zeke went home, I think that an idol saved a person or idol, like, I'm not sure what I'm looking for.
So on two of these, the idol that was played did not affect the outcome. So if the idol wasn't played, the votes would have counted, but the same person would have gone home. On one of these, the idol changed who went home.
Okay. So it's Zeke, Joe Mena, and the third person is who?
Elizabeth from Survivor Island of the Idols.
Okay. I think it's Elizabeth from Island of the Idols. I think that did Karishma play her idol here in this spot? And then ultimately that she went home. So I'll say Elizabeth Beisel, engaged.
Yes, to her for a fellow contestant, Jack Nichting, who they met on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So at the Zeke Tribal Council, Zeke, the vote was 5-4. Adam played the idol for Hannah, but Zeke got the 5 votes, so it wouldn't have affected the outcome. You are correct about the Joe Mena vote. Ryan Ulrich played an idol, but the vote would have been 4-2-2 instead of 4-2-0. At the Elizabeth Beisel vote, you are correct. Karishma played an idol, negating 7 votes. And then on the this was actually a 1-1 vote that was unanimous on the revote, 7-0 against Elizabeth Beisel. Mm-hmm. So you are correct. You have a perfect 4 points. And I have another mini game for you. This is not going to be multiple choice.
Okay.
This is going to be all about the Survivor auction. There were 4 auctions that occurred this week in Survivor history. So a big week for the auction. I miss it. I wish they would bring it back. I wish there was a way to bring it back that was not broken. So at a lot of these auctions, there are sometimes items that are not food. They're not loved ones. They're not letters from home. They are things that can be used to give you some sort of advantage in the game or some sort of advantage at the auction. So
sure.
I am going to give you a season. I am going to tell you what was won by a player. And you have to tell me the player who won this advantage or I'll specify what the thing is.
All right. This is new.
This is a new game. I was like, okay, we gotta hit the auctions. There's a lot of them this week. So this is going to be Survivor Guatemala. Who won the challenge advantage? And each of these are going to be worth 1 point if you're right, 0 points if you're wrong.
I believe it was none other than Danny Boatwright.
So this is a famous example. Danny Boatwright, who needed to win this challenge in order to stay in the game, did win and, of course, went on to win Survivor Guatemala. And
huge,
we're now going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is huge. And I think a lot of times when they have the challenge advantage, it ends up being a pretty big advantage in the challenge. Not always, but mm-hmm. many times it does. So, okay, let's go to Survivor Cook Islands. This was the power to send someone to exile and take their money.
And this, which season is this?
Survivor Cook Islands.
Cook Islands. The power to
send someone
send
to exile.
Somebody to exile and take their money. Boy, I don't think I know. There's no multiple choice.
There is no multiple choice on this one. I can tell you
I will say that take their money and send somebody to exile. I will say that I think the person that did this was, I'll say it was Ozzy.
Ozzy is incorrect. So mm-hmm. the person who was sent to Exile Island was Candace, and the person that sent her there was Becky. Becky pulled her money with Yul, and Candace tried pulling her money with Adam, but Becky and Yul had more money, so Becky sent Candace to Exile and took her money. So you don't get points there. It's your first miss of the mm-hmm. game. Let's go. We're going to Samoa, baby. There's going to actually be two of these from Samoa. The first one is going to be also a challenge advantage.
A challenge advantage. I'm going to say that Jason bid on the challenge advantage.
So Jason of the FOA 4 is correct. You get a point there. And the other thing that was not food or loved ones, letters or whatever, was an idol clue.
I will say that. But now, I think this is when Did Russell already have the idol clue, or he already found the idol and they sold a clue to the idol that Russell already had? I feel like that's a thing that happened, which I did not like. And I will say that, who did that? I don't remember who was in the game at that point. I'll say it was John Fincher.
So John Fincher is the correct answer. You get a point there. Yes, I didn't like this either. They sold a clue to John Fincher. Poor John Fincher, who got sold a clue for an idol that had already been found, and it got him voted out of the game because Russell
said he made a mistake. Yeah.
Yes, Russell revealed that he had the idol, and then was like, "Crap, I got to get Fincher out of the game now."
And then also, John Fincher also bid a hunch for, was it the pie? And then he wanted to know if y'all stoked for some pie.
Are you stoked on pie? Yeah, I was stoked on pie last week.
Yeah, I still am.
Are you a big pie guy?
Big pie guy.
What's your favorite pie?
Well, I think pumpkin, apple. I'm not like a, gonna have exotic pie taste, but like my podcast co-host Kiva, pie over cake for me.
I would agree with that. So what do you consider, is a pecan pie an exotic pie?
I think that's sort of like in the sweet potato category. It's not key lime pie, is famously Jeff's favorite pie.
Yes. Key lime pie, I think, is in my top five probably, but pecan pie is my all-time favorite pie. So I'm a...
Yeah, I had some the other day. I wasn't that impressed.
Can I tell you how I did my dessert this year, Rob?
How?
I had one dessert and it was a giant, giant piece of pecan pie. I had nothing else. There were like seven Cool options. No, just plain pie.
Pie?
I had it with vanilla ice cream. Vanilla ice cream. Yes.
Yeah. The one I had, I think, was kind of basic. It didn't seem super impressive. But I said, I don't think I've ever had this. So let me try it. I'll try it once.
Have you ever heard of a pie cakin?
Pie cakin. So it's like the turducken of cake. So what is it? A pie inside of a cake?
It was a...
Inside of a what?
This was at my Thanksgiving table. There was a pumpkin pie and I believe also a pecan pie inside of a cake. I don't know. I'd rather have them separate. I didn't. It looked good. If people said it was good, I didn't have it though. I was too
busy. A lot
of
turducken talk on Thanksgiving as they memorialized John Madden. Very confusing memories for my children trying to triangulate, especially my 9-year-old. Trying to triangulate who John Madden was, of this man who invented video games, who loved turkey.
Yes, he was those are the things he was known for. Video games.
Yeah. He made video games and gave out turkey legs to people.
Yeah. He's basically does he know that he was a football coach?
I don't know if he knows anything about you must never see like footage of him coaching.
There's like the one picture of him with the Lombardi trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that Dominic has not played a Madden game in which John Madden was actually announcing. That would be a very old school game.
No, but he is on the cover this season.
That's fair. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should get back in. I need to get a new, I have a PS3, Rob. I can't get new games anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sadly.
Anyway, you are correct about John Fincher. So you are 3 for 4 on this game. You were perfect going into the game, and I think you're going to probably have a winning week. This one, I think you're going to get Survivor Philippines. This is another challenge advantage.
Mm-hmm. Abby Maria.
Abby Maria, of course, is correct. She tried to fake that it was a dual advantage that was a challenge advantage, and also she deserved it. She deserves to play as many times as the letter on. So you finish with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 points out of a possible 9. That is a win, baby. And because you won the game,
give me a turkey leg.
I will give you a turkey leg, and I will also give you a verbal rebus, and it's a quick one. Mm-hmm. You're gonna like this one. When this occurs at Final Tribal Council, the third placer casts the deciding vote.
Okay. Tie.
Plus, Propes often says, blank, know what you're playing for. Fill in the blank.
Blank.
Blank, know what you're playing for.
Do you wanna?
Well, just the one word before no.
So say it again.
What does Jeff say? Blank, know what you're playing for.
Oh, do you?
He doesn't say do you.
Do ya?
No, he says wanna.
Okay.
Want to know what you're playing for? It's a, that's a much more popular Survivor expression than come on in, guys.
Okay.
Plus, the guy who liked Navidi's Beach much better than Malolos.
The guy who liked Navidi's Beach much better.
Dirty.
Oh, Bradley?
Yeah. So who do we have?
Tawana Bradley? That's
Tawana Bradley. Tywana yeah. Bradley. Yes, that is correct. Voted out of Survivor Pearl Islands and one of the greatest episodes in the show history with the grandma lie. Yeah. So
allegedly coming to Netflix this month.
Yeah, I heard that. I will it's a good chance I'll watch it on Netflix. I watched it on so many other things. Might as well watch it on Netflix.
Boy, great Netflix season. Is really pulling out the reality TV seasons. They've got basically everything from the CBS trifecta.
I gotta say, Survivor is very hot right now. I noticed this from the Thanksgiving table. I used to be an outcast in my family. It used to be just me and my mom who watched Survivor. Now,
like
more than half the table watches Survivor. I don't think they watch at the same level as us, but they have seen a lot of the recent seasons and they've seen all the Netflix seasons.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's big.
Incredible.
It's a popular show we talk about, Rob.
Good. And getting more popular, probably in no small part because of you.
Do you think there's anyone who's ever listened to this podcast who does not watch Survivor? They just listen for the trivia.
They listen for the trivia about a thing they do not watch.
Yes. Do you think there's just one person questions? In the world?
Yeah.
They love Kalish, yeah.
Probably not, I would guess.
Yeah. It wouldn't make much sense.
Yeah. Maybe if somebody was like reviewing the podcast and then they would give it zero earbuds.
I think they would give it multiple earbuds. Many earbuds.
Yeah.
20 earbuds.
20. All right. Jordan.
Yes.
Great job here once again. Okay. You're in your bag again.
Yep. Love it. Love it in the bag.
Okay.
And we are, what the fuck does that mean? Oh man.
Yeah. All right. Well,
sometimes things just come out of my mouth and I have no idea where they come from.
All right. I mean, a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan, where can people keep up with you?
Well, I'm still on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. You can follow me there. And of course, doing the Survivor viewing parties. I have a feeling that this week's is going to, this is last night. last night's was a big one for some reasons. I'm sure you've probably seen some pictures on social media. And we do this the party every week. So come out to if you're in Manhattan or near there. Always a lot of fun.
All right, check it out. All right, Jordan, thank you so much. Take care.
Talk
Bye.
Bye.
All right, there you have it. Jordan Kalish once again this week in Survivor history. So for me, I'm going to start to get ready. Adam Klein is coming your way this afternoon here on Rob is a Podcast. So we'll get your questions from Adam for Adam Klein. Maybe Adam Klein will have questions for you, and that will be very fun. But I will start to prep for that podcast. We'll get Bryce on the feedback show. I'll also be chatting with patrons this Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern when we do our patron happy hour coming up this weekend, our brand new patron show. You could hear that and much more when you become a patron of Robin's Podcast. Head on over to robinswebsite.com/patron for that. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.